What's going on, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany hanging out with you. Hopefully everybody had a fantastic Thanksgiving, my American friends out there. You enjoyed some football, maybe some delicious turkey, and just some downtime, right? Chill, hopefully with some friends, some family, and whatnot. Today, we are going to hit on a lot of the sports that are happening in the world. It is an amazing weekend, actually, to be a sports fan. I mean, yesterday we had the three football games today, you know, World Cup action, the States and England, Sunday, Canada, right? Let's get that W, Canada. A lot of afternoon action happening in the NHL, the NBA, full slates across the board here. And exciting times in Major League Baseball, too. I know maybe not as exciting. We're like, we're here for the NFL. We're here for the NBA, the NHL, the World Cup. Nothing's happening in baseball. But, you know, there's been some stuff that's kind of happened over the past little bit. And when it all breaks down and when it all happens, we will break it down on this show. Vlad Sedler's already kicking tires on his fantasy baseball package over at FTNFantasy.com. And speaking of FTNFantasy.com, everything today on our website over at FTNFantasy.com is free. Everything is free. Projections, rankings, tools. It's all there for you. As you see, Thanksgiving yesterday and Black Friday today. And it ends after today. So I know some people come in here and ask some start to sit questions, and I'm here to answer those and try to give you some context when it comes to those questions. But we have our projections and our rankings live over at our website. Jeff Ratcliffe is the number one ranker in the game. I mean, last year he was number one. His projections are spot on. Dude's an absolute sharp and a super nice guy too. And I know he's really, really busy. And why wouldn't he take the time out of his day to help me out? But I was chatting with him on the side about TJ Hawkinson earlier in the week. And we talked a lot about Hawkinson on this show all week long. We liked the spot against the Pats. We liked the over 4.5 catches at plus 125. We also gave on the FTM betting show, we liked the over 40.5 receiving yards. And we liked him to find the end zone at plus 220. And I was asking for some red zone statistics from Jeff just in the three games from Hawkinson as a member of the Minnesota Vikings. I think he had like 29 targets in the three games, maybe 28. I know he had at least 9 in every single game. So that would be at the 28 mark, I do believe. And 6 of them were red zone targets. 2 were inside the end zone. He was number 3 overall in red zone targets before yesterday over the 3 weeks, the three games that he spent with the Minnesota Vikings. And yesterday he had a big day. I mean, he caught the 5 passes. He passed the 40.5 receiving yards and he found the end zone as well. So he continues to be a nice addition for the Minnesota Vikings. We're going to recap last night's action. There's not a lot really to take away. It kind of went how I thought it would go. Maybe the Lions game was a little bit more competitive than I thought. Buffalo had to come back in that game and win, but this is a Detroit team that has basically covered the spread. I don't have the numbers offhand, but you can go back to the start of the season last year. Even though they have piled up a lot of losses, this was a team that covered pretty consistently. And it's something that Mike Randall brought up in the FTM betting show, which he was on as well. The backdoor cover, I was on the wrong side of that. it goes both ways, right? People are love it. The touchdown at the end. You know, I have some friends that are just getting into betting and they watch this show and for some picks and things like that. And I did have the Cowboys to win that game. And just really the spread is something that I liked. And, you know, there were some questions from some people in, you know, a side chat. And it's like, why did that happen at the end? Like maybe just watching football really for the first time. It was a meaningless touchdown. Nothing. Why did they have to go for that touchdown instead of losing by whatever 14 and they end up losing by 8 or 9. I forget what it exactly was. It was 8, right? They were up basically, you know, 2 scores. And they had the touchdown there at the end of the game. And, you know, you go for the onside kick with like seconds left. But that's it, right? This is the highs and lows, the bad breaks, the good breaks. Sometimes it happens your way, right? If you were on the Giants and the spread, that worked out beautifully for you. If you're on the Cowboys spread, and you know, you got backdoor. And that just happens all the time. You know, I don't mean to laugh. I mean, I was on the wrong side of it too, but these things do happen and it can be frustrating taking large spreads in the NFL. I mean, it hasn't really worked out this season. There's been a lot of close games and teams with large spreads are not really covering. We have 2 massive spreads this week. And actually there are 3 when you include the San Francisco 49ers as 9-point faves against the New Orleans Saints. And then you have, I think, 15-point favorites here, the Kansas City Chiefs up against the Los Angeles Rams. And then you also have the Miami Dolphins coming off the bye against the Houston Texans, massive favorites as well. And I think all 3 of those teams probably cover. If there's 1 team that doesn't cover, I would say it's actually the Niners, even though I've talked a lot about how I feel like they're my favorite team at this point of the season right now. What they can do on both sides of the football, they're a team that is trending up at the right time. It's a lot of points, though. It really is a lot of points. So we will have some picks and some props on this show. NFL, you know, some NFL props are just kind of filtering in now. There's a lot of people that are questionable. So you're not going to get a prop surface on your books, you know, all the props that you want. Certainly the props that I look for. Saw the players I was looking to target, and I didn't see anything just yet. But I did find five or six that I like and that I wanted to share with you guys as well. But we're going to have you covered on FTN Network. You know, I mentioned a couple things. FTNFantasy.com is free. FTNBets.com/free, FTNDaily.com/free as well. We're still running these 3 free-day trials. And why not take an opportunity to jump all over this? There's a lot of action happening in the NHL here today over the next little bit. But Mean Streets has a new time on Game Plus Network at 4:30 Eastern for the foreseeable future. So if you're looking for some NHL action today, I have a ton of action in our FTM bet tracker. You can just hop on over to FTMBets.com/free, sign up, make a free account, hang out with us for 3 days. You're going to get the NFL picks this weekend, college sports, NHL, NBA, World Cup soccer. It's all there for you for free, plus with those projections and some of those tools. And if you're into DFS, right, you jump on FTNDaily.com/free. Ken Lee has his article up already. As I mentioned, a ton of action in the NHL, NBA. We'll have some NFL content for you as well. And the guys are super hot at FTN when it comes to FTN Daily. I mean, guys are winning left, right, and center. Not just, you know, our writers and our experts and our analysts, but also I've seen a lot of green screens in our Discord channel as when it comes to the NFL. There's been some amazing hits from Two Gun a couple weeks ago with the Christian Watson call with the 3 touchdowns. And last week, Tony Pollard. And even the guys in the FTN Daily Show, which was free, Blickle, Jones, and Kyle Murray. That's David Jones and Alex Blickle. These guys were all over Nelson Agholor yesterday. Nelson Agholor, right? Hadn't done anything all year. Agholor finds the end zone, scores a touchdown. So super sharp squad. Happy to be part of the squad. But, you know, a lot of promos happening. Is there another one, Tyler, that we can tell people about? Gravy? Yeah, here we go. 1 month of FTN Bets Diamond. Just $10, gravy 10. So this is everything. All picks, all sports, tools, Discord, you name it, it is all there included. And if you're not a big bets player and you want to, you know, dive into some DFS, some FanDuel, some DraftKings, some Yahoo, we got you covered over there as well. Gravy 30% off annual DFS package. So that's the rest of the season. We're going to be with you until that Super Bowl is won. So we're going to take a quick break. Even though there's a ton of action in the NHL this afternoon, I have some picks and some props for those people that are watching on Game Plus Network, part of Sports Anthem and Entertainment. So I'm going to target some games that are happening after 4:30 Eastern with some props, some same game parlays. And then, as I mentioned, I do have some NFL picks and some props, picks against the spread, some totals and some sides as well. Again, hopefully everybody had a fantastic Thursday, Thanksgiving. If you're watching the replay on this show, please subscribe. If you're watching or listening on iTunes and Spotify, rate, review, subscribe, smash that like button, 5 stars. It does us a huge solid, certainly me. It'll help people find this show. So a quick break. We'll recap last night. We'll get into some of the early, I guess it's not so early, betting lines, some line movement, but not a whole lot, really. Not a lot of line movement, but I know there's a lot of questions that people may have this week because we're seeing as many as maybe 4 different starting quarterbacks in the NFL this week. There's a ton of injuries across the whole league. Keeper Lock, we'll be back here in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back in. So let's recap last night. Don't need to spend a whole lot of time on this, but this block will be just last night's action in case you missed it. 3 games in the NFL. No real surprises, as I mentioned. Just maybe some backdoor covers in that second game. But we were on the Vikings here on this show. We definitely like TJ Hawkinson, who worked out for us. Yeah, actually, yesterday was a pretty good day in terms of props. We gave, I think, 6 Thanksgiving Day props. And 5 of them hit. The only one we didn't hit was in this first game with Gabe Davis. Now he had some moments. There was a touchdown that he dropped, but it was a nice defensive play. Other things that we were on that hit yesterday, Darius Slayton continues to trend up. I mean, he's been a nice little find for people who have needed somebody in fantasy football, and he's been a moneymaker for us on the show for what, Tyler? 5 of the last 6 weeks, I do believe. He has hit his receiving yard prop. And he did it pretty easily yesterday, too. I mean, it's just a deep threat guy inside the offense. You saw a big chunk of his His yardage came on one play yesterday from Daniel Jones, and he was just stopped near the goal line, and then Saquon ran it in. So he has been really good to us. Mentioned TJ Hawkinson in the catches and the receiving yards. We also had, I think the only play we had in the Buffalo and Detroit game was Gabe Davis, right? And Gabe Davis didn't pan out for us, but we did have CeeDee Lamb for receiving yards as well. So it was a pretty good day. Hopefully we can back it up. That's it. We're not going to spend too much time patting ourselves on the back on this show. We want consistency, but it was pretty good. Not going to lie. So this game here, Josh Allen continues to, in my opinion, he's not right. I don't think he's right. He's not hitting, on those short yardage throws that he usually does. He's missing with some accuracy. He's definitely dealing with some pain. I don't think there's any question about it, but when the game was on the line, he put his team on the back. He made a phenomenal throw to Stephon Diggs to set them up for the field goals. Detroit came back and tied it up, and there wasn't a lot of time left for the Bills to come back and you know, take the lead. I thought potentially that game would go to overtime, but a nice throw to Stephon Diggs, and he ran when he needed to on a couple plays, right? He finishes with 10 carries, 78 yards. He leads the Bills in rushing yards. He had a rushing touchdown as well. So a great day from Josh Allen, of course, the number one quarterback in fantasy. Devin Singletary, 14 for 72. I thought we'd see a little bit more from James Cook, only 2 carries, 4 receiving yards. He did catch 2 passes on 5 targets for 14 receiving yards. I still think he's a pretty good stash at this time of the season. Maybe you're looking for a potential league winner if anything happened to Singletary. This isn't a team that really likes to run the ball all that much. They've ran more recently than they have in years past. I mean, they went through a playoff game a couple years ago where they didn't even run the ball once in the first half. And that has been my issue with the Bills. Is I'd like to see them not be so one-dimensional, but this year has been a little bit different. It's clear they wanted a pass-catching running back in their offense. You know, when they tried to sign J.D. McKissic and it didn't work out, and then they drafted James Cook in the second round. So we've seen some highlight reel moments from James Cook, but mostly it's been when the Bills have blown out teams. But I still think he's a nice, running back stash. Isaiah McKenzie, this was the Isaiah McKenzie I drafted and dropped weeks and weeks ago. 10 targets, 6 grabs, 96 yards. You know, the Bills just played a lot of one-on-one, right? And that left Isaiah McKenzie open often. And, you know, he's pretty quick, he's slick route runner, decent hands, had a touchdown as well. So pretty good day from Isaiah McKenzie. I don't think there's going to be a lot of consistency. I don't think you're ever going to feel great about starting Isaiah McKenzie as a flex, but, somebody who probably shouldn't be on the waiver wire. You see moments like that from him, but that was basically a career day from him. I don't know if he's going to be able to back that up, but Diggs was pretty quiet until late in that game. He ends up with 15 targets, 8 grabs. Now, I mentioned Josh Allen. Some of that was on Allen with the throws and some of it on Diggs, and also, you know, credit to the Lions, and Dan Campbell's gotten them playing pretty decent defense as well, despite, you know, allowing 28 points yesterday. It was a heartbreaking loss for the Lions. I mean, they had won 3 straight games. They hung around with Buffalo. They've done some really good things this year and last year. I really like the direction of this Lions team, but Diggs ends up with 8 grabs, 77 yards. Gabe Davis, right? He hit the 5 targets, 4 grabs, 38 yards. So we were just shy on that one. Knox does nothing. On the Detroit side of things, another day where another touchdown happened for Jamal Williams. 18 carries, 66 yards, a touchdown. He's a league winner. That's it. I'm comfortable saying it as of right now, week 12. You know, we're here week 12. He's a league winner. He was a guy that I drafted live on this FTN Network YouTube page in the 26th round of a best ball draft over at NFFC. I just was like, there's nobody left. Jamal Williams. I had so much Jamal Williams last year because I really liked him as a running back in Green Bay. I thought the Packers should have kept him. And maybe in hindsight, they probably should have instead of drafting A.J. Dillon in the second round, which you don't even really use. Anyways, Jamal Williams, when he went over to Detroit last year, I liked the offensive line. I liked him even a little bit more this season. It's a good offensive line. And this isn't taking any shots at DeAndre Swift. I think he's a really good running back, but he has not been able to stay healthy at all. He's yet to give us a full season in the NFL. I believe this is year number 4. He's had to deal with some injuries. And watching the game yesterday, I was like, wow, is this guy healthy or not? He's practicing in full all the time, and he's not getting any run. Justin Jackson's on the field. And then we saw a little bit more as the game gone on with DeAndre Swift. He was stuffed at the 1. He went down at the 1. He wasn't stuffed. He had a nice long run, and he was stopped at the run. But he didn't, or at the line rather, but he didn't really do, a whole lot. I mean, he chips in with 4 catches. He had 8 targets, 24 receiving yards, but only 5 carries for 19 yards. Justin Jackson had the 4 carries for 4 receiving yards. And I think he caught a pass for 15. Yeah, 1 catch there for you know, two targets, one catch, 15 receiving yards. But man, Jamal Williams, a league winner, right? You got this guy late. Maybe you didn't even draft him. You picked him up off the waiver wire. He's hooked really good. And 13 rushing touchdowns. It's like a LeGarrette Blunt type season, kind of, you know what I mean, with New England. It's not going to be 20 touchdowns, I don't think. But this is a guy who has dominated the goal line touches from week one against the Eagles, and he's been really, really good. Amon-Ra as well, 10 targets, 9 grabs, 122 receiving yards. Other guys in this offense, like Chark, catches a touchdown, but he only had 2 catches for 16 yards. Khalif Raymond, 6 targets, 4 catches, 35 yards. I think maybe next week we could see Jameson Williams. Now, by dynasty, holding dynasty, but in redraft, I don't expect a whole lot, but he should be on your, you know, your roster, your bench. And I probably wouldn't pick him up if I was fighting for a playoff spot. If you're comfortably in a, you know, comfortable in a top 1, 2, 3, you're in a comfortable spot. We'll say that. You could afford to pick him up, maybe stash and put him on IR, and maybe you're not playing him, but maybe, you know, come week 14, 15, you know, he's really starting to trend up in the offense. He's going to be very boom or bust. I think more so than Christian Watson or, I don't know, Gabe Davis we talked about. I think there's going to be more boom in his game next year. I mean, he can blow the top off of defense. He's a really good wide receiver. In fact, he was one of my favorites. I think Garrett Wilson was my favorite. Really like Chris Olave, what he has done. I liked Olave coming out of the draft too, but I've been really impressed with Chris Olave. But Jameson Williams is one of my favorite targets in this past year's draft too. So that's really it. Bills win. Big W for them, right? That division is in the AFC East. It's loaded at the moment. And the Jets are playing pretty good football, especially defensively. We're going to get Mike White under center for the Jets this week. Zach Wilson benched. And then, you know, the Pats, tough loss for the Pats. We could get into that game now, actually, if you want to. You know, Kirk Cousins gets a lot of hate, a ton of hate, especially on primetime. It's easy for everyone to say, oh, primetime Kirk Cousins. Oh, primetime again, Kirk Cousins. He stinks and this and that. But nobody ever seems to give him credit when, you know, he wins a big game. So let's give him some credit. Primetime game against the Pats and Bill Belichick. Yeah, he threw a pick, a couple bad moments, but ultimately a pretty good game. 30 for 37, 299 yards, 3 touchdowns. Dalvin Cook didn't do a whole lot. He had 22 carries, but 42 yards, 1.9 yards per pop. It's not great at all. Justin Jefferson, right? 9 grabs, 139 yards, 11 targets. You just can't stop this guy. Last week, I think he broke a record for the Vikings, you know, passing Randy Moss. And he passed Randy Moss overall, too. The most receiving yards for a wide receiver all time. At this point, you know, the first 3 seasons of an NFL career is like 2.5 or something. Justin Jefferson, I forget the number. I mean, you can just look at his stats and you can see. I mean, here it is here. I'll give it to you guys. What is it? How many receiving yards this guy has? 4,248 in 44 games. What an absolute freak of nature. He's the 101 for sure next year, right? Cooper Kupp a little bit older coming off the injury. Stafford a little bit older. Yeah, and you know, Kupp, I don't even think will be a top 5 wide receiver in redraft league next year. And it's not really on him, but he is a little bit older and an injury, right? Coming off his significant injury. Anyways, Justin Jefferson's phenomenal. Adam Thielen was great yesterday too. 10 targets, 9 grabs, 61 yards, had the game-winning touchdown at the corner of the end zone. And Jalen Reagor came in there with one catch on 25 yards. But Hawkinson, 6 targets, 5 grabs, 43 yards, getting used inside the red zone, a couple red zone targets from him yesterday. Good stuff. On the other side, I thought Mac Jones had a pretty good game too. 28 for 39, 382 yards, 2 touchdowns, made a couple really nice throws. Damian Harris left with another injury, unfortunately. Ramondre Stevenson couldn't get a whole lot done on the ground. 7 carries for 36 yards, 5.1 yards per pop. I mean, it's not bad, but they were throwing a lot more than you usually see from a Green Bay offense. But Ramondre Stevenson, it continues to be a massive player. That's the other guy that we had as the prop. We had him over 25.5 receiving yards. He ends up with 76. He's led the Pats in catches and receiving yards a couple times this season. He didn't lead them in receiving yards yesterday. It was Devontae Parker who had 80 yards on 4 grabs. Aguilar, I mentioned, had 8 targets, 6 grabs, 65 yards. Hunter Henry had the touchdown. Probably should have had a second, let's be honest. I thought that was a catch. I mean, by the rule, it's not, I suppose. I mean, he catches it and he tries to secure it and he rolls over. When he rolls over, he loses it a little bit, but he caught it. Like, he caught it at the line and then he had his hand under the ball, and I feel like that should be it. I mean, after, he didn't really need to roll over. You're in the moment. It's tough. It was a tough play there for him, but he did find the end zone a little bit later on. I think that was before or after. I forget now. I mean, I'm not American, but I had myself some turkey and some pops yesterday, that's for sure. So a little bit blurry towards the end of that game last night. But Ramondre, 10 targets, 9 grabs, 76 receiving yards. He is, uh, his backfield is probably going to be his next year. Damian Harris is on the final year of his deal, and the Pats just don't really have a history of re-signing running backs and bringing them back. I mean, I know they did it a couple times with James White, but I think that was just different. Maybe he comes on a cheap deal, but I'd say he's on a new team next year. And I'd say Rhamondre. I know we've seen a lot of different, you know, committees in New England over the years, and it's been very frustrating, apart from that year with LeGarrette Blount that I mentioned earlier. But Rhamondre is, man, if he could be a bell cow back inside this offense, I think he's a, I don't get too crazy, top five, but he's definitely a top 10. Like he's going to be a solid RB1. Somebody's going to catch a lot of passes, get some red zone looks that are not always necessarily his with Damian Harris on the roster. I really like what I've seen from him. Vikings win, big W, right? Nice bounce back. There's still a lot of people that think they're frauds. You know, if I'm ranking teams in the NFC, I definitely have the Niners, the Eagles, and the Cowboys over them, but they're right there. Offensively, I feel good about their squad. Defensively, I don't really, but anytime you have Justin Jefferson and Thielen and Hawkinson and Cook, you know, there is a lot there. That they can really make some noise in the playoffs, but they still are four to me inside the NFC if I'm ranking teams. But a nice bounce back win from the Vikings. And speaking of the Cowboys, was the other game here, you know, yesterday. I thought the Giants did some good things despite, you know, that offensive line being depleted and the lack of weapons as well. You know, they were up at half. They started off pretty strong. But the second half, you know, the Cowboys really took over. Saquon, again, doesn't do a whole lot. 11 carries, 39 receiving yards, or 39 rushing yards, rather. He saves your day with a touchdown. He had six targets, four grabs, and only 13 receiving yards. This is, what, two or three? This is definitely three games in a row for Saquon. And this is part of it, right? If you don't have any other threats offensively, it's two games in a row where he has 26 carries, quick math, 40, 60, 61 rushing yards. He's got a touchdown there in the last two games. I mean, he's hit the century mark four times. He's been a beast. He's just shy of 1,000 rushing yards on the season. Well, you don't have any other threats in your offense. I mean, this is really what it comes down to. Saquon next week against Washington is a very tough run defense. He's going to have Washington in week 13 and week 15. Sandwiched in there is a game against the Eagles as well. And you know the corners that they have. They're going to be selling out in that game to stop the run. They haven't sold out to stop the run really all year, but I can bank on it. They're going to be all over Saquon in that game and trying to do what they can to stop the run. So the Giants need somebody else. And I don't know if Odell Beckham can just kind of save them. There's multiple reports now of Odell with Dallas, and it was the Odell game last night. And I think he'd be a really good fit on both teams. A great real life move, I think, for both teams. From a fantasy standpoint, if he lands on the Cowboys or he lands on the Chiefs, it's not going to be really ideal for you. If he lands on the Giants, that would be a little bit better. I heard rumors about the Niners as well. I mean, it wouldn't be great for your fantasy if he landed on the Niners. It wouldn't be great for anybody else either. But there's just a lot going on there in San Fran. They don't need Odell Beckham Jr. But the Giants do, because Slayton, three catches, 63 yards. That's it. That led the team. He had six targets. Richie James Jr., five grabs, 41 yards, six targets. This is nothing there. Isaiah Hodgins, like, what are we talking about here? Lawrence Cager, one catch, 20 receiving yards. So there's just not a lot going on, unfortunately, with this Giants team. And that's why I said earlier this week that I thought Washington at plus 390 to earn a wild card berth in the NFC was a pretty decent stab, because I don't expect this Giants team to make the playoffs. This is a big game this week between the Falcons and the Commanders. And as I mentioned, you got the Giants and Washington playing twice over the next couple of weeks. Those will be huge games as well. But Washington's showing me a little bit more. Defensively, they're stopping the run. The Giants have an issue stopping the run, and you know the Commanders have more playmakers, and really that's what it comes down to. I mean, the best player when those two teams play will be Saquon Barkley, but after that, I mean, you're looking at McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, you're looking at two running backs that are playing pretty good, and Brian Robinson Jr., Antonio Gibson as well. So Chase Young coming back soon, Payne, Allen, it's just a lot going on with Washington. I like the way that they're trending up. It's plus 190 for them to make the playoffs, but why don't you just take the wild card at plus 390, because they're not going to catch Dallas or Philadelphia. They could catch the Giants. So big game this week for the Commanders, but that's really it from the Giants standpoint. They do need some help, obviously. Brian Daboll has done some really good things. Even if the Giants don't make the playoffs and they finish with eight or nine wins, I still think he's deserving as like coach of the year. He should be in the conversation as well. On the other side, Zeke, pretty good game. 16 carries, 92 yards, 5.8 yards per carry. Had a touchdown there. Tony Pollard had 18 carries for 60 rushing yards. It was a good Zeke game. Zeke looked pretty good yesterday. Is that part of the Giants. I think partly it is, but I saw a little bit more giddy up in his step too. So it was nice to see. CeeDee Lamb, 11 targets, 6 grabs, 106 yards, almost found the end zone. The heel did touch the back of the end zone. Man, he had some terrific one-hand grabs. I don't know if he was trying to show off for Odell or whatnot, but he had some great one-hand catches yesterday. CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup had a pretty good day. Eight targets, 5 grabs, and 63 receiving yards. Some pretty good stuff from him. And Dalton Schultz, who we love Dalton Schultz on the show. You know, it was tough. It wasn't easy this year with Dalton Schultz, but I think now that Dak is back and Schultz looks healthy, a couple touchdowns from him yesterday, I think, you know, you got yourself a top 5 tight end. Heck, you may even pick him up off the waiver wire because people probably cut ties with him when Dak went down and also Schultz went down at one point of the season too. So big win for the Cowboys. They weren't all that successful over the past couple of years playing on Thanksgiving. So a big W there from Dallas. See some people hanging out here. This guy, Albert, hello. I'm not going to be able to translate that comment there, but we can get to it in a little bit. We are going to break. You guys have any questions? Hurts or Tua this week, rest of the season, to see some stuff coming in. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Hang tight. Mean Streets continues here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in Mean Streets Live at our FTN Network YouTube page, also Game Plus Network. If you're hanging out live, smash that like button. If you have any comments, any questions, you can leave them. If you're watching the replay, you can still leave them in the comment section. I always circle back before kickoff in the NFL to take care of any starter sick questions that you guys have. iTunes, Spotify, you can hop on over FTN Network YouTube page, absolutely free. A lot happening on our FTN Network YouTube page. We got the Prize Picks show already, college basketball or college football picks for this weekend, live on our FTN Network YouTube page. You're gonna have some NFL props and some Prize Pick stuff as well. We got the college basketball show. It's all happening on our FTN Network YouTube page. So I want to take care of some people here. There's a comment here just about the World Cup. And just asking if Americans are also excited about this event like the rest of the world. I'm not American. I am Canadian, and I know Canadians are actually really excited about the World Cup. We haven't been in the World Cup since, I think, 86. And, you know, a tough loss in the opener to Belgium, but I thought the Canadians played pretty good. They got Croatia on Sunday. It's going to be a must win. I'd say Americans are pretty excited too. Absolutely. I mean, I've been watching a lot of, you know, yesterday watching all the three NFL games. You know, there was a lot of talk about the game happening today against England, right? Harry Kane and you know, the States, and it should be a really fun game. I would say yes. There's a lot. We've had a lot of coverage over at FTN, free coverage as well. Like, you know, bets and picks and breakdowns, all that good stuff. But you know, it seems like a lot of us over at FTN, the Americans, are super excited and super thrilled. So I would say yes. I would say yes to that. I don't think the excitement is as, and I'm speculating, is as intense. It's not as intense as, like, of course, like in Brazil or Argentina, things like that. How about that scissor kick yesterday in that Brazil game? Fantastic stuff. Albert, hello. This guy, 12, yo, Meanie. Hurts are Tua this week and rest of the season. And you got both of these guys, eh? I mean, I would start Hurts just because, you know, his rushing floor. But, I mean, you can't go wrong. Both of these guys are top 5 quarterbacks for me this week. Let's see what we have in our projections. I'll give you a little bit of a sneak peek, this guy, 12. See what we got going on here for projections between the two quarterbacks. It's a better matchup for Tua. There's no question. So he probably has the higher ceiling this week, you know, playing against the Texans, and they're massive favorites here. But I would say that we have Jalen Hurts for slightly more fantasy points. Yeah, we have him as QB2, 23.3 fantasy points. We actually have Mahomes at 23.2 as well. And we have Tua at 20.1. Lamar ahead of Tua. Like, I would play Tua ahead of Lamar. Lamar's not really showing me a whole lot these days, but Tua is. So, I mean, you're going to be in this situation the rest of the year. You're going to be battling with yourself, you know, Hurts or Tua, Tua or Hurts. And I don't think you can go wrong with either decision, but, you know, you are going to go wrong once or twice because both guys are studs, but hopefully they just have, you know, good games and you're not like, oh, wow, you know, I lost because of this. I would trade one of those guys, honestly. Maybe your trade deadline is passed, but when I roster two quarterbacks in a single quarterback league, I want to flip one of them. I want to flip the one that's going to get me most, you know, the bigger return. I would say Hurts gives you the bigger return, and you roll a Tua. I mean, the rest of the way, the offense is fantastic. I know your trade deadline is probably passed, but something to consider moving forward, right? It's you always have a tough decision to make, and why not help the rest of your team get more of a balanced squad? I'm sure there's somebody in your league that would love to have Hurts or Tua, and you get yourself an RB2, you get yourself a wide receiver 3, you know, you take the loss, whatever, but then you just roll out the one quarterback every week. Another comment there. I remember a show you used to do once a week with a funny guy as a host. He wore a squirrel suit one time. What was that show called? It was awesome. Was it at Anthem Sports Entertainment? I think it was. I think it was with Tim. I think Tim, I forget his last name. Was it Wagner? He was super funny. I've done some shows with some funny people. I am not a funny person, so it would not have been. I think it was with Tim. I think it was like a live show that we did every Monday at Anthem Sports and Entertainment. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. I forget the name of the show. We used to stream it live from the Facebook account. It was something live. Maybe even just like FNTSY Live, I think, maybe. But Tim was a comedian. Yeah, he was hilarious. We had a lot of fun. He started up a 3-kicker league. We had some fun with that. You know, we did a live draft where everyone was drafting kickers. Jake Seeler would be like, "What the heck are you doing?" And I know for me, I was like, "What the heck am I doing?" as well. But 9 of the first 12 picks were kickers. You had to start 3 kickers, so you needed kickers. It was a different draft. But Tim was super funny. I'm pretty sure that's the one. Yeah, shout out to him. I wish I could remember his last name. I'm a bad friend, bad co-host, but comedian. And one time we got massages during like live advice and things like that. So it was a good time. We had a lot of good time, FNTSY. Shout out to the crew at Anthem Sports Entertainment. Let's bring up the week 12 schedule, the rest of the schedule. And then in the next block, we'll just do, so this is block 3, right? We'll do 6 NHL picks. We'll do NFL picks and props in 5, and we'll figure out the other one. Tampa Bay and Cleveland on this Friday here. So yeah. I'm not going to spend too much time on the picks. I'm just going to roll through maybe like some starter sit stuff here, like that I was thinking. Rashad White, I got him ranked ahead of Leonard Fournette. There are a couple people I'm waiting on. It's still pretty early on a Friday to hear about some of the injury news. I did just see that Joe Mixon did not practice today. So that is tough for him. You know, as of right now, I'm wondering about Lenny. I'm wondering about Kyler and Fields, Hollywood, Rondell, Debo, Jamar, Mixon, who I think just came down. I don't think he's going to play. He's not practicing today. So that's a sign that he's not going to play. Higby and Gus Edwards. And Gus Edwards did practice today, or is he expected to practice today? So you can expect him back, I do believe. And it's a crowded backfield there with Kenyon Drake. But Raheem Mostert's another guy that I'm seeing here is quote from Underdog_NFL is that McDaniel had said that he has an uphill battle to play week 12. My goodness, like Jeff Wilson is another guy that's just going to be a straight up league winner for people. How quickly things can change in the NFL, right? He's got just a dream matchup here against the Houston Texans, who are a team that just has not been able to stop the run over the past couple of years. Everybody is running all over them. Jeff Wilson's looked phenomenal as a member of the Miami Dolphins right away. Is the first game he had spent a couple days and he had already looked better than Raheem Mostert, getting touches out of the backfield, getting red zone looks, and getting catches. It didn't take him too long to pick up the playbook because he played with Mike McDaniel in San Fran last year, and it's a very similar playbook. Last year, he stole touches from Raheem Mostert. This year, he stole touches from Raheem Mostert. So Jeff Wilson is going to move up significantly in my rankings as a low-end RB1 or a high-end RB2. I expect him to get at least 15 touches on the ground. Maybe not a lot of catches, but he should be able to run over this team. They're massive favorites. Heck, he probably finishes with like 22, 23 carries. I'm going to be looking for a Jeff Wilson prop, and I'm going to look right now, actually, live on this show. FTMBets.com, prop shop, Jeff Wilson. What do we got? Do we have anything, Tyler, for Jeff? Oh, yeah, we have to type in Jeffrey. We got nothing. We got nothing just yet. I mean, this is usually the case, right, when it comes to Friday. Like, as soon as these practice reports come out, and, you know, props will start to come out as well. But Jeff Wilson, I'm going to probably take the over on his rushing attempts, take the over on his rushing yards. And I think he finds the end zone as well. Like I said, I think he's a potential league winner. Let's take a break. We're at we're getting deep into the show. We want to keep the balance here and have some time to give some NFL picks and things. So we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up with some picks and some props on the show. Keep your locked. Three more segments left on Mean Streets. The final segment will be NHL. If you were looking for afternoon action in the NHL, hop on over to our FTN Bets account, ftnbets.com/free. As I mentioned off the top of the show, see some people kind of hanging out looking for some NHL picks. If you're looking for afternoon action, as I mentioned, even in the NBA, World Cup action, ftnbets.com/free. Sign up, 3 free-day trial, get all those picks. But I will have some late game action for you in the NHL. And I'm going to save the NFL props and picks against the spread for the next segment. I want to bring this up back, the schedule back up again. Deesh is in the house. Jamar Chase expectations. So we just officially heard now that Joe Mixon is ruled out. He's not going to practice or he's not going to play this weekend. You know, Samaje Perine, I think we've talked about him a couple times in the show, is like a true potential next man up guy, like an actual next man up guy that will dominate touches, because there's a lot of backfields. For example, if Miles Sanders went down, Kenneth Gainwell, Boston Scott kind of competing with each other. If Aaron Jones went down, it'd be AJ Dillon. If San Fran went down, we know Elijah Mitchell, like things like that. But we know for sure, in my opinion anyways, I didn't have Mixon in my rankings. I didn't expect him to play this weekend. This is a really tough matchup against the Titans, right? A rushy VOA defense, they're number one in football. They can get after the quarterback. We know that Joe Burrow has been sacked, I mean, it feels like 1,000 times since he's entered the league. This should be a really good game. But Samaje Perine may not be that efficient running between the tackles, but he's going to be an RB2 for me this week. He's going to touch the ball 20 times. He's going to get double-digit carries. He's going to catch some passes out of the backfield. He already has that third down role anyways. He had it. I mean, he gets on the field when Joe Mixon is active. We saw him last week with 3 receiving touchdowns. This is not something that's sustainable, obviously, but he could catch 3 or 4 passes. I'm going to be interested in his receiving yard prop and his catch prop. If it's a 2.5, I think it could be a 2.5 plus money. It's something that I'm definitely going to be interested in as well. As for Jamar Chase, he had a good week according to practice reports. It sounds like he is going to play. I would play him. Deesh, you have what do you got here? So you can afford to sit him if Jamar is next level. What's this? What is that? AJ Brown? Yeah, you play AJ Brown. You don't risk it. You play AJ Brown. But I don't think a lot of people have the same luxury as you. Like, I still will have Jamar Chase ranked as wide receiver one, probably a low-end wide receiver one, around 11 or 12. There is a little bit of risk, of course. You can suffer a setback. You could be on a pitch count. But I don't think the Bengals would risk him. Of course, this is a big game this weekend. Cincy's got to win. It was a big loss for the Pats. Good news for Cincy. But I don't think that they risk him if it means, you know, sitting out longer. You know what I mean? But where you got AJ Brown, you're fine. And yeah, dropped Robinson, J-Rob, for Perine. Absolutely. No question about it. I think the quarterback change actually in New York is a little bit is good for Michael Carter. I think Michael Carter may be a guy that down the stretch here we really like as like a full PPR type guy. I saw Mike White last year. He checked down all the time. Check down. Well, there's like a couple games in a row where White had, I think, 9 catches and 10 catches or like 23 targets or something like that. Don't quote me, but the 2 games in a row, you can go back and look from last year. He was heavily involved. At that time, there was really just Elijah Moore. Now you have Garrett Wilson. Do you have Elijah Moore? You really just have Garrett Wilson. Sounds like Corey Davis potentially could return this week, but I think we could see a lot of check downs. Michael Carter, I do have ranked ahead of James Robinson. I like Robinson overall, but I think Carter is going to be the lead there moving forward. Can we bring up that schedule maybe one more time and then we'll break? We got some props and some picks to share with people, but I just kind of wanted to roll through maybe some starter sit questions that people may have that maybe I can just address if you're watching the replay on the show. So White over Fournette. Let's wait on Fournette. I think Fournette could be a flex. If there's no Fournette, giddy up for White. We just had a really nice game from the last time we saw the Bucks in Germany. They were running the rock. Cleveland ranks dead last in rushing VOA defense, 32nd overall. The Texans are 31st overall. That's why we talked a lot about Jeff Wilson. So Jeff Wilson, you're rolling out the Bucs weapons there as well. I still like Donovan Peoples-Jones. We'll talk about him in a little bit more. His receiving yard prop is just too low. I think the Bucs are going to be able to push the pace. I think they're going to be able to score some points. And there's a rapport with Brissett and Mr. Donovan Peoples-Jones. So I would still start him. Amari, you're starting. Boyd, I don't like as much now that Jamar is back, but I think, you know, as a flex, there's no teams on bye. So hopefully you're not in a tough, tough spot. But I think a borderline flex play for Tyler Boyd. Derrick Henry. I also think, you know, a borderline flex play, low-end wide receiver 3, actually. for Mr. Treylon Burks there. A couple good games, especially last time that we saw him. I like Treylon the rest of the way. Make sure he's owned. I think he's a solid wide receiver three. I think I have him ranked in the mid-30s. The Bears and the Jets, I don't think a lot's going to happen here in this game. I think the Jets are now 6-point favorites, so that line has moved just a little bit. And the Bengals, I think, are 2.5. But what am I starting here from either team? I mean, Fields, if he plays, sure, he's not going to be a top five quarterback for me. Mooney and Kmet, downtick. You're starting Montgomery. I like Michael Carter. And I would start Garrett Wilson. But after that, you know, I just don't think we'll see a lot of scoring. I think we'll... Let me rapid fire through this stuff just a little bit more quicker. Cordarrelle, you're playing. Drake London, I would play. McLaurin, I would play. I'd play both Washington running backs. I got to lean to Antonio over Brian Robinson. The Denver, Denver Latavius kind of wheels up, right? It's his backfield for the moment. So I do like him. Cortland Sutton, I like on the Carolina side of things. I try to find a different option for DJ Moore, even though it's Sam Darnold. I don't think that we're going to see, I think we'll see like 12 points scored in this game potentially. The Ravens, you know, now that Gus Edwards is back, I would have Drake just ranked slightly ahead of him, but these are two guys that I expect to kind of run into each other, be a little bit of a committee. It should be ETN's backfield to this game. Daryl Henderson was signed, but he's not going to play this week. The Chargers, you're rolling out Keenan. I like Palmer. I don't think we'll see Mike Williams. Arizona side of things, we're just waiting on a couple dudes. Hollywood, I wouldn't play. Expect him to be on a pitch count if he does return. You're playing Hopkins. Rondell, I don't think, but you play James Conner. The Raiders, the only guy I would play would be Jacobs and Adams. Seattle, all systems go for everybody on the Seahawks. The Rams, I wouldn't want to play anybody, maybe Allen Robinson. I know you could be in a tough spot. I'll play Kerwin over Cam Akers. I think Akers has more touches on the ground, but I think Kerwin probably has more usage through the air, and they're massive dogs. That's like 14-15 point spread now for KC. Sounds like Juju's going to return. I play Juju, and I would play Pacheco in a really good spot. Obviously Kelsey's getting in there. Saints, Olave, Kamara, that's basically it. Everybody in San Fran. Green Bay, just Aaron Jones, Christian Watson, and Lazard. Philly, everybody you're rolling out. I think it could be a good Miles Sanders game. You can run on Green Bay. And the Steelers, Pickens, Pickett, obviously quarterback in a super flex league, Matt Ryan in a super flex league. And I still like Paris Campbell along with both running backs here, Najee and Taylor. They could both turn it up. They've had two solid back-to-back games in a row where they've been good. They could turn it up down the stretch here in the second half of the season. Steelers, the schedule lightens up for them in the second half. So that is it. A lot there. And now we got to rapid fire through some picks and some props in the NFL and in the NHL. We'll be back with some NFL picks here next. Welcome back in, Tyler. Let's rapid fire through this. Let's go with picks against the spread. I've got some totals and some sides in here as well. I didn't want to come at you guys with massive spreads, but I do believe that the Chiefs, especially Miami, I think Miami covers against the Texans. I don't think really there's, I don't think we'll see a backdoor cover in that one. We could see one with the Rams. They still have some solid players, on both sides of the football where we could potentially see it, but I'm leaning here with Tampa over Cleveland. And I think, what I saw from Tampa the last time we saw them, right? Tom Brady, kind of like, it's go time now for the Bucs. Brady was clicking. The offense was rolling deep, on the ground, really. What I saw from them, I was really impressed against Seattle and Cleveland, 32nd rush DVOA, right? So I think they'll have some success running the football. Seattle at 3.5. I've been really impressed with them this season. The bye at home, Las Vegas has nothing to offer defensively. It's just a whole lot of Devontae Adams and a little bit of Josh Jacobs in there. So I think that they cover the 3.5. Actually, I like them a lot to cover the 3.5. And I like the over, as you see on the right. And the Packers at 6.5, for Green Bay, if they can just, copycat what Washington did, what Green Bay, did against Buffalo a couple weeks ago, and against the Cowboys, run the rock against the Eagles, slow it down, take time off the clock. This is the best quarterback that the Eagles have. Say what you want about Rodgers, but this is going to be the best quarterback that they've played this season. 6.5 is a lot of points fighting for their playoff lives. I think that they're actually done. I know that they're done, and they probably feel defeated after that Thursday Night Football loss at home to the Titans, but 6.5 is a lot of points. Honestly, I like the 14 or 13.5 more, but I didn't want to come in here like a sucker and give you guys like a massive spread like that. So I do like Green Bay. Tennessee at home dogs, a top 10 defensive unit, number one against the run, no Mixon. This is a team that, you know, gets pressure off the quarterback. They're top five in sacks. Joe Burrow's always on his butt. Give me the home dogs here in Tennessee. You can take them 2.5 if you want, plus 2.5. But I do like the Titans at home. Oh, my goodness. I know I'm rolling with the Broncos. But there's a lot of massive favorites here, guys. I just didn't want to come in here with like minus 800, minus 600 favorites. So I like the Broncos. And as you see on the right, under 36, that's a low total. But I think this is like a 12-9 game. Denver hasn't shown us anything offensively in their defense. Has been spectacular. Now you got Sam Darnold under center. Good luck against the Broncos, dude. And then the Colts minus 143. It's a bit of a toss-up game. I like them that they're at home. That should be a good game. I would say it's like a field goal game, comes down to like the last possession. Colts and Steelers. Nothing happening in Chicago or the Jets, even if Justin Fields plays. I like this Jets defense quite a bit. Now for the props. Let's switch over to the props for this weekend. Isaiah Pacheco, 59.5 rushing yards. This is going to move, I think, in a hurry. His last couple games, he has been dominant. 80 rushing yards on 16 carries and a 107 on 15 last week. Massive, massive favorites here. No CEH. He's going to get, I think, 15-plus touches. Aaron Jones, as I mentioned, just run the rock. He's got the 4 100-yard games, 2 in the last 3. I expect him to get 20-plus touches on the ground. Run against the Eagles. That's what you can do. Terry McLaurin didn't top this in his last game, but I expect this game to be a little bit more competitive. He's been at least at 60 receiving yards in 3 of his last 5, and this is a really good spot. The second most fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, the Falcons. Davante Adams has 44 targets in his last 3 games. I would have a catch prop here, but I didn't see one. 3 straight games with 100 yards, 6 times he's hit the century mark. And then Donovan Peoples-Jones, right? Another game where he is just, I mean, he's had at least 4 catches in every game since week 4. He's topped this receiving yard mark in every game since week 4. He's been at 50 receiving yards. I think he can get to 40, and I think he's going to have 4 grabs at plus money there. We're going to break, and we really will rapid fire through some NHL picks and some props. Keep her locked. One more segment here on Mean Streets. Plenty of action in the NHL. I'm going to lead here with Jason Robertson, who should be in the MVP conversation. I believe that he is. And you see plus money here, 3.5 shots. A tougher matchup against the Jets. He had 15 shots in his last few games, 8-7. He actually had 10 shots a few games before that. He's had 4-plus shots in 8 of his last 9. He's up to 16 goals and 31 points in the season. He enters on a 3-game goal streak. He's got 5 goals over that span, and he's got 12 goals in his last 11 games. So the over on Jason Robertson. A few other shot props that I like here, as you see on the board, a ton of action in the NHL. Tage Thompson, 4-plus shots in 7 of his last 8. He's averaging 10 shot attempts per game over his last 7. A bit of a tougher matchup against the Devils, but I'm going to take it because it's a good price. Also inside that same game, Jack Hughes, a better matchup for Jack Hughes against the Sabres. 4-plus shots in 5 of his last 7. David Perron on the top line. He's got 9 shots in his last 2 games. A great spot against Arizona. Nikita Kucherov has been shooting the puck. 4-plus shots in 8 of his last 10 games. Erik Karlsson didn't hit in his last game, but he has in 3 of his last 4, and he's got a softer matchup here against the Kings. The last time he played was against the Kraken. And then we'll switch over to some same-game parlays and take care of those who can take them over in Ontario. Bet365. Hughes and Bratt for a point, plus 100. Eichel and Stone at plus 105. You can include Chandler Stephenson if you want, but I'm not trying to get greedy. Larkin and Perron together, 5-5, and the power play against Arizona. Getting a little greedy on this last one. You can take them as just singles if you want. Fiala, Kempe, Kopitar on the same line, or Carlson, Meyer, Timo Meyer, and Hurdle together. You know, Meyer and Hurdle on the same line, Carlson on the power play. You can take them all. I think the over will hit between the Kings and the Sharks, and that is plus 850. For more, ftmbets.com/free. Have a fantastic weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday. Cheers.